This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
Bradley Ogden, always a delight to see you.
Thanks, Tom. Good seeing you, too. It's been, what, a year now?
Yeah.
Time flies. You're getting younger. I'm getting older.
That's right. One of the two. Bradley, you're international award-winning chef. James Beard Award winner.
A few.
Tell us about some of those accolades that James Beard.
It wasn't just me. I mean, I had a great team behind me and my wife and at that time Jody and the support of a couple of my chef's sons. So there was a strong front of the house, back of the house, financial team put together. So it's like collectively with everybody's support, fortunately enough, you maybe gain a little reputation and on a positive note.
What was your first James Beard Award?
First one was Best Chef in California. That was in 93, I think, along with Jeremiah Tower at the same time.
Where were you chefing at that time?
Lark Creek Inn was my first one. And then we also, at the same time, opened up on the plans on the docket a couple more, but primarily it was One Market in San Francisco we opened up, which is still going strong today.
And you're still peripherally involved there, right?
I am. I have a little bit of presence there still.
But you've moved and you live now in Lodi, California by choice.
Love it. I've been here for, going on 2.5 years. Time flies when we're having fun. I love the area. Besides the egg and the great wine region, which is close to 125 now, everybody thought it was just Zin, but it's grown up since then. Everything from whites to varietals to 150 varietals, matter of fact.
Today, wine remains an integral part of the weaving of your cuisine, right?
It's intertwined. I mean, I was buying produce from Michael David way back in the 80s and 90s in Marin at the local farmer's market, and lo and behold, now he's one of the best winemakers here in the area.
Your philosophy of cuisine and what you do here, tell us how it melds with local Lodi regional cuisine ingredients.
Since I came on board, I mean, their whole philosophy has always been farm to table. And now we have, besides being an awesome ag community, we have now, I would say, everything from olive oils that I'm getting in, local olive oils, to almonds and walnuts. And we have 4 or 5 sustainable farms that we buy direct from. I pop into the little farmer stand and hand-pick strawberries that morning that I bring into the Wine and Roses as well as Rosewood downtown.
So you're able to source almost all of your raw ingredients fresh that day.
No, it's really exciting for us. I mean, we're in this environment that we can, you know, my banquet chef, Jake Devon, has his farm and he brings in fresh picked apples to persimmons to pomegranates, local citrus, lemon, limes. Actually here on campus in Wine and Roses I'm talking about. You know, it's a sprawling 9-acre facility that we have a lot of our own micro gardens as well as citrus trees and figs. And then we take it and utilize it. If I can't utilize it in a restaurant, I'll make some spice apple butter and sell it in the market in our little cafe.
Since you have such a long and legendary reputation in San Francisco and across the Golden Gate, have you noticed that you've had followers and people that know you come to Lodi because of you?
Fortunately, yes. And, you know, I've had people from Santa Cruz to up and down the coast come out, and specifically because they were used to go to Campton Place or Lark Creek Inn or some of the other restaurants, Ogden's in Vegas, and so that they come out here and stay for a couple nights and have the cuisine.
And here is the Wine and Roses?
Wine and Roses Resort and Spa Hotel. I mean, you see a lot of special events that we do.
Weddings.
A lot of weddings with special menus that we put together. It's exciting for us and exciting for them to. I mean, we've had many weddings that we've catered as well. Great menus together. And yes, I'm in the kitchen every day cooking.
And again, your cuisine, your plate presentation is very unpretentious, very simple. It has this magic that is so appetizing. How do you pull that off without the gimmicks and the towers?
Simplicity is never simple. I mean, it's...
I know, it's a paradox.
It is a paradox. And first of all, you have to start with a great product and then try to come up with a simple, not overplayed with, not overdeveloped, not overcreative complexity of flavors, each accenting the other. And so, and that's my job, as well as Jake and Paul, our chefs. So to me, the cleaner the plate, the more desirable it is.
Isn't that fascinating? Because you remember the different iterations of things, architectural towers and splatters and colors and dusting. And swirls.
It's
understated.
Understated and more simple approach to great food.
It's like a background or an accent.
You can't hide a perfectly cooked chicken. You can't hide a perfectly seared steak or a roasted piece of fish or a great poached shrimp. I mean, it's either is or isn't.
Talk to us a little bit more about your philosophy of cooking in the kitchen in that process.
I think I'm still learning, which is great. I think if you step back and I look at my template, sort of, it's like having a canvas and, okay, and I call them my kids, most of them, but I have a certain, there might be like a 10-item color template that I may have. So starting with a great organic vinegar or a great local extra virgin olive oil that was just pressed 2 weeks earlier, and then having this grass-fed beef that I'm getting in here in California, or might be local lamb from Sacramento area, or cape vegetables that were just picked that morning. So wonderful ingredients that we had, and that's always been a repertoire and the first touch of a good plate.
Talk to us a little bit more about sourcing and your philosophy of good for you food, organic or sustainably produced.
We have some really close friends. I would say there's 4 or 5 local farms that we work with. We'll sit down, what do we want for next year? What kind of seeds do we want to bring in? What kind of peppers, hot, mild, heirloom, whatever, or tomatoes? And then we'll fit that into the menus. So we call the farmer, what do you have? So he'll bring what he had just picked. Like yesterday morning, Javier brought us in some little baby carrots and some golden beets and some little sugar beets that were just picked. The last of the tomatoes, because we're getting frost, will be here in no time, which it was this morning a little bit. So we're on the end of that, which I'm sad to see, but it's time. We can move on from tomatoes. And then we infuse it into the menus. So, and that's how we cook.
What you're implying is that your menu is a work in progress every week, every month. It's not a static menu.
Here's how it works. We may have a certain proteins base that we may use for a 6-week period, and then we infuse it with, then the menu will be adjusted that week over the next week, depending on my persimmons are in season, or if the pomegranates are coming in, or the root vegetables are here, so we'll infuse the other elements to it. I look at a plate where it's maybe 1/3 protein and 2/3 fruits and vegetables in legumes.
You've been here long enough, going on 3 years. You probably have a sense of what people expect, like a signature dish that they expect to see when they come back. Have you found that?
I can't take the Caesar salad off. But you have this, our guest profile, let's call it. You have the more adventurous, and you have the ones that they like what they like. And,
they expect to have it when they come back.
And of course they do. And so, and not all the time we do. Like, when are you going to put the rumen back? Or when are you going to, why are you taking the corned beef hash off? Or why'd you do all of a sudden you took that baked souffle lemon orange pancake off? And obviously we're replacing it with something. So, yes, it's complicated, but we make sure they have a great time.
Give us an example of some of the plates that you're most proud of, that are most significant and represent you.
Well, like you said, everything is changing. So I think if you have a menu and you pay attention to the details, make everything tasty. That's the main thing, number one. Number two is that I just put a simple little organic pork chop for breakfast and brunch menu with a spice local Bartlett pear butter. And I put some soft cheddared eggs with it and some home fries. Not that simple, mind you.
You were just in the kitchen earlier concocting something. What was that?
Oh, I do certain projects that I don't let anybody do, so it's like...
your little babies?
Yeah, my little babies. The organic almond milk that I make for the cafe, which is crazy what we go through. And so it's like, and I haven't stopped that for almost 2 years now. Anyway, so, I do the organic heirloom juice for it, which I concocted, right? Organic grapes, organic sweet pineapple, navel orange, a little fresh ginger, and some local R&G farm Fuji apples.
Is that a signature that I could come back next month and ask for?
Maybe something else. Because
you never know.
It depends what I have around and I want to use up. And so I'll shake it up every week as far as that.
How long have you been chefing?
Long time.
But no, you've never lost that playfulness, that fun adventuring with food.
Since I was 18. Yeah. So it's like
at least 5 years.
A few decades, right? So, no, I love it. Mm-hmm. I'm inspired by it. I'm inspired by, you know, making people happy, you know, and as well as working with our young staff. And I call them young because most of them are. So it's like, I have to realize, I guess I'm mostly run circles around them, unfortunately.
We touched on one James Beard Award, but you won more than one.
A few.
Share with us the other.
Well, another one. You're only as good as your last meal, let's face it. But anyway, I did win Best New Restaurant in Las Vegas when we had a restaurant there for 10 years in Bradley Ogden's and Caesars, which we opened in 2003. That was quite a coup. I mean, especially the first restaurant outside of New York that won that award for Best New Restaurant in the country, James Beard Award. And then, you know, Silver Plate Awards and this and that. And yeah, there's a few.
See, there you go, getting modest on me again.
A few. Yeah. And I'm fortunate enough to have two chef sons.
I mean, are they in the area?
Well, the doctor's son is up in Portland. I just visited him because I had to go see the grandkids, of course. And then one's in, Brian was working with my company for a while, and that now, and then I dissolved that one. But then he's working in Las Vegas. Brian is, well, he's traveling a lot because he's the culinary director of Sugar Factory. Then the other chef's son's in Japan.
Oh, wow. So you got the world covered.
Yeah, mostly. I don't think he wants to come back. He married a Japanese gal.
So. Oh, interesting. One more thing. We're in the world of wine here. I assume you do winemaker dinners, and one of your fun, playful adventures is pairing local wines with your foods.
We must have done maybe 12 pairings, small dinners, around 25 to 30 guests. There would be 7 to 8 courses, everything from Acquiesce to Michael David, Harney Lane, etc. And depending on the complexity, it was more about the food semi-pairing with the wine, you know. And I usually can make the food, complex it may be sometimes, pair nicely whatever wine, as long as it's, you know, both elements. If you have good wine, you usually can pair it with good food.
Do you ever break some primordial rules, like the old white wine with fish and red wine with meat? Do you ever break that and have fun?
I didn't, and I proved them wrong. This was back in 1985.
Okay, tell us about that.
When I did a luncheon with all the type, you know, everybody from Patricia Underman to all the food writers that were there at Jordan having this, it was about 80 guests.
You were at Jordan Winery?
I was inside the cave at Jordan Winery, and I did a steak salad with artichoke, and everybody said you can't pair artichoke with a complex Jordan Cabernet. Mm-hmm. I said, well, let me work on that. And so I ended up braising the artichoke with some of the Cabernet and other ingredients, but it worked perfectly with the wine. So I did prove them wrong, yes. And what do I know? I'm from Michigan. I didn't know anything about wine.
So your innocence served you well then.
That's correct.
And how about a white with a meat?
I think here's my, and my son would turn over, but I think it's really what the guest prefers and likes.
But could you do it? Could you make a dish for yourself that you would like? Give us an example, an abstract.
Yes, you can. Even with a complex, rich Chardonnay, Heights, whatever it may be. For instance, you could do like a seared steak with a grilled plum summer salad, and it would work fine. Doesn't mean maybe a 12-ounce piece of steak. Mm-hmm. It's not steak and potatoes and a vegetable. That's not what I'm saying. So the complexity of that.
But you can balance that with the white.
And to balance it out with the right acidity, the right balance of flavor, richness, tartness. So in those yes, you can.
Mm-hmm. Very, very cool. So adventuring on, huh?
Always.
Yeah. I love it. Well, Bradley Ogden, I could keep you all day. It's been an absolute pleasure once again to regroup with you.
Well, it's a pleasure to see you, and hope to see you before next year.
I look forward to it.
Thank you.
I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Lodi, California, where we've been visiting with James Beard Award-winning chef Bradley Ogden. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
Associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Molly Blaisdell, San Francisco, and Katya Singel, San Luis Obispo, California. Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul.